You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth.
Hi, everybody. It's your girl, Ash, and welcome back to another episode of Truth Is. Today, I want to talk about humility. It's something that I have been working on for quite some time. And I'll say, honestly, for the past year or so, a lot of my podcasts so far have been about experiences that I feel a lot of my friends, family members are going through, that some I can relate to. Some, you know, I'm always kind of inserting my own perspective, but this one really is something that has affected me directly. As a young woman who is in her 30s and is striving to step her proverbial game up, I'm learning the importance of being humble. I'm learning more that humility is a great quality to have during, I think, all moments in your life, but especially when you find, for me, that you're right. So that might sound weird, but I've basically learned through being humble or working towards being more humble that my rightness doesn't matter. I mean, even that sentence alone has taught me the value of humility. Like, so I'm a person who grew up in the church, and I was raised and I was taught that humility is important, and it is a characteristic of Christ, and so on and so forth. And I just want to say, I understand that not all my listeners are religious or even Christian. So I'm just putting that out there because that's just kind of like the foundation for me as a young person. Who my mom and my father are. And so that's what I was raised knowing and understanding. Humility derives from the word humble, which means having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's importance, one's own importance. And it's not to say that you're supposed to be groveling at the ground and like, oh, I'm not worthy. But I think it's just understanding that you don't have to perform like you're better than anybody else. And not to put your station above someone else's, right? So for me, if I'm wrong or if I'm going through something and I need to learn a lesson, I'm cool. Like, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm wrong. I have no problems with it. I'm a very opinionated person and I have strong opinions about many things, but I also believe in being a student of life. And I feel like for me, call it a bit narcissistic, but I actually am okay when I'm wrong. I'm actually like, that's great. Because if I'm wrong and that person can school me on something, that means that I just learned something new and I'm just becoming better or smarter. So I embrace not having all the answers, because one, there's no way that I can. But I feel like when you are wrong, there's room to grow and there's room to learn. And so I always thought that I was a pretty humble person because of it. But I was actually having a conversation with my cousin from across the pond a few weeks ago about humility. And just that, in that conversation, I realized, I was like, you know, my issue is not being humble when I'm wrong about something, whether it's like if I have a conversation with my husband and we might get into a dispute or argument or whatever you want to call it. And after talking through it, I'm like, oh shit. That was me. That was my bad. Like, I'm quick to be like, my bad. I was wrong. You got that. Like, that's all you. But, so I don't have a problem humbling myself in those moments. I think what I have learned in this past year is that it's when I'm right that I am not humble. There was a time when I didn't know that my being right didn't matter. I'll say for me that, you know, my professional life more recently has taught me how true that is, that it doesn't matter how right I am. It doesn't matter if the answers that I have are right or whatever it is, that I'm doing the right thing. It doesn't matter. And oftentimes people don't care, especially when you're at work. So I'll never forget when I was hired for my current job. I was hired to do a specific task. I was hired, literally the role was very plain and clear, or my role was very plain and clear. And 3 months into the job, I was being trained. I was getting on the job training, which is normal. And then one day the training stopped and I was told to perform other tasks out of nowhere too. It didn't come with any notice whatsoever. And these new tasks that had nothing to do with the job that I was supposed to be doing lasted all the way into just this past June. So for the vast majority of the time that I've been at my company, I was doing in a sense, a job that wasn't mine. Now, there were moments where I was getting real pissed off because in my mind, I'm like, this job is below me. Like, and that's not to say that the people who actually have that role are less than I am, or that they're not as intelligent as I am, or they don't have anything to bring to the table beyond what they were hired for. I'm just like, look, you know, I graduated undergrad. I did all that. I paid my dues. I've been in the working game, if you will, for almost a decade. I came to do this particular job, which I viewed in my mind as a step up in my professional life. Also in tandem with going to, with getting my master's degree, which I recently, this past May, completed. But at the time I was still going to school. I was working on my thesis. I'm like, yo, I'm in a master's program. Like, what? Like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm above this. This is ridiculous. And I felt like I was being mistreated, and I felt that it was unfair. There was even this running joke amongst me and some of my coworkers about how I had yet to do the job I was actually hired for. So it'd be like, oh, did you start doing such and such yet? Or, you know, and, you know, it was just kind of like a way for me being, because I'm a very sarcastic person, to kind of just get through the day, because I couldn't understand why this was happening. And I almost felt like I was being punished. And just a little bit of background, I left the previous job to take this job, which is in a completely different industry, because I was looking for an opportunity to change industries, to learn something new, to kind of step up and allow myself an opportunity to grow as a professional. The job that I had previously, I loved it. The company is amazing. What it stands for is amazing. I still have a great relationship with these individuals that I worked with today, but there was also nowhere for me to go. Separate from taking my old boss's job, which I didn't want. But there just wasn't, I had been doing it for 3 years and I had mastered it. And I'm the type of person who loves change. I love to move forward. I want to grow. I want to move on and move up. So I saw this new opportunity as a way to do that. And then I felt like I got bamboozled and hoodwinked, if you will, when I started to work in this space. And some of you might've been like, maybe thinking, well, girl, why didn't you just quit? Please believe. It ran across my mind several times. I'm like, this is whack. Like, I don't have to do this. I'm better than this. Like, why am I even here? Like, I could, you know, there are other companies that are going to understand my worth and allow me, to be the great Osh that I am. You know what I'm saying? But there was a reason, that it wasn't meant for me to go. When I was even like trying to leave, I was seeing that this just wasn't the time. I wasn't confident even in moving forward, because I'm like, I believe in gaining skills and understanding a role and becoming an expert before you step in to something else. And I'm already transitioning industry. So it just didn't seem smart to leave one place to go somewhere else to start from the beginning. I also didn't want to risk a repeat of what was happening to me in this space. Like, okay, so I'll go somewhere else and they paint a pretty picture and they wrap it up really nice and well packaged and I'm going to be doing this. And then I end up doing something else, because what happened to me is not unique to me, which is another thing I felt at the time, which goes back to the importance of being humble. Yes, we are raised to believe, hopefully if you are raised in a happy, healthy family, that you're special. And yes, we are special, but in certain circumstances, we're not. We are just like everybody else. You know, going back to the fact that like this was something that many people recognized, people that were higher ups, people that were on the same level as me, people that were not on the same level as me. We were making these jokes because it was just like it just kind of felt ridiculous. But all jokes aside, I was pissed and, you know, relatively unhappy about my particular place in my company. And like I mentioned, I was about to graduate with my master's and the field that I was currently working in. And I felt that I had nothing to show for it in terms of skills. And even in terms of my pay, I was like, yo, I should be making such and such amount of money because I'm about to get this master's degree. And that alone should catapult me to a higher salary. So, I mean, at the time, I just felt like I was being shafted every which way. I felt like, you know, I was being played, to be honest. And I just felt like the skills that I had already brought, the type of individual that I am and the, you know, formal education that I had received and was about to finish receiving, just kind of were all reasons why I should have been in a different space at my company. And so, yeah, I wanted to quit, but I also felt like I hadn't obtained any new skills to do that, to catapult me to a new level. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, even from a spiritual standpoint, because I do believe in God, I do believe that you are put in certain positions for a reason and everything happens. And there's a season for everything. Everything happens for a reason. There is a season for everything. And just because you don't like where you're at doesn't mean that the immediate move is to get up and go. I think even back to my millennial podcast, that's what a lot of people have, this misconception that we just get up and go and we don't know how to stick things out and we don't know how to see things through. And I can tell just working at the company that I work at, I work with a lot of people who are millennials and younger than me, but still in that millennial space, who don't do that, who fight through and work towards a greater goal. So I am blessed to have a mother who is spiritually minded and is just a bomb mom, period. Like she just has my back. I actually am just blessed all around and that I have a family who always holds me down. So, you know, I shared with my mom all that I'd been going through and, you know, she encouraged me to remain steadfast and, you know, view this as a lesson that God is teaching me. And my mentor, another strong spiritually minded person, she shared that, you know, when I would talk to her about what was going on, she just was real, real upfront. You know, like my mother plays the mom role, spiritually minded, whatever. And she is going to talk to you like a mother talks to their child. Going back to my previous podcast about everything ain't for everybody. So you got to understand when you go to people, they're going to provide you with advice and support in the way that they can. So my mom was doing the maternal thing as she should. My mentor, a lot less maternal, a lot more to the point. And she basically said in so many words, homie, like what you going through, boo, it's not new. And let me tell you real quick, I've been there and I've done that. More than once, more than twice. And understand that this is just what the process is. And she just, what she did, what she would do is she kept advising me to be humble. Like she was giving me encouragement in other ways and how to, you know, and helping me to see things differently in terms of my perspective and think about the trajectory of my career. And like, this isn't the end all be all. Like, this isn't the only thing you'll ever be doing in life. Because in that moment, I felt trapped. I felt imprisoned by my job, if you will. But she kept, you know, so with all the additional support and advice that she was giving me, she kept telling me to be humble. And I'm just like, I remember when the first couple times she said it, I was just like, I mean, who said, like, what do you mean? Like, I never said it to her, but I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, I am humble. Like, I'm as humble as they come. Like, what do you mean? And I think in that moment, in retrospect, and I have this conversation with my husband a lot, we'll have these debates about whatever. And I'll say, like, because this means da 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 da. And he's like, well, what does the word really mean? So, you know, in throughout our relationship, now I have this thing where if I don't really know the full-on definition of a word, I go and I take it to, you know, my dictionary.com and I look it up. Because while I think I'm a pretty intelligent individual, I was an English major in college. You think you know what the word means, but you don't always. And I think that in my mind, I just attached humble as an automatic characteristic to me because I'm like, I'm a good person. And like, being a good person is associated with humility. So like, why she keep telling me to be humble? Like, doesn't she see that like I am a humble person? But I hadn't really sat down and thought about what having humility means, what humbling yourself means. And I was actually doing a little bit of reading. I found this blog by this guy named Scott H. Young. And he's titled it, Humility is More Important Than Confidence. And he wrote this about 7 years ago, and he said that humility is an asset for self-improvement. By remaining humble, you are receptive to opportunities to improve. If I suggest the way you might triple your business, you have to accept the possibility that your current way of doing things is costing you 2/3 of your potential revenue. So only with humility can you allow this incredible advice to sink in. And what's funny about that excerpt from his blog post is that I wasn't hearing her in that moment and in that time when when she was encouraging me to remain humble because, or to be humble, because I wasn't humble. I couldn't even hear that advice. But I started to think more about it and more about what she was saying and started to try to better understand what the definition of that is. And so in my mind, like I'm thinking to myself before I started to really let this advice sink in. I'm like, yo, but you know that they fouling me out. Like, you know, this is wrong. Like, this is an injustice. You know what I mean? Being so melodramatic. And I'm thinking like they should do right by me. And she just, you know, kept encouraging me to just be humble. And, you know, in that I learned, like, first of all, don't nobody got to do nothing for you. All right. We don't owe anyone anything. When we go out and we help and we support or we show love or whatever, it is a choice. It is not something that we have to do. It's not obligatory. You might make it your business to be that kind of person. And so for you, it is innate and you make it an obligation. But essentially, you could choose to switch it up and just be like, nah, I'm not the type of person to do such and such. So I figured humility is a big deal with God. And she might actually be onto something because she is spiritually minded. And at the end of the day, you know, me being angry in my cubicle wasn't working anyway. So, you know, I'm the eldest granddaughter on both sides of my family. And I often tell my younger cousins, you know, especially the ones that I live nearest to, when they were much younger, they're teenagers now, but when they were much younger, like 6 and 7, and they would do something wrong and they would get in trouble for it naturally. But I say to them, I said, well, why did you do, you know, whatever you did? And they would say, I don't know. And I'm thinking, so I said, okay, well, here's the thing. If you don't know why you're doing something, then you should probably not do it, right? Like, if you don't know why this is happening, or if whatever you're doing ain't working, you should probably stop. Like, you're doing this foolishness, you're getting yourself in trouble, it's probably not a good look. So for me, while I understood while I was mad, I kept being mad and it wasn't working. So it was just like, you need to stop. And I think after a while, I was so mad and I didn't even really sit down and understand what was going on, which is probably blocking my ability to be humble. So I had to pull back and do a lot of self-analysis. So in doing so, on my journey to humility, if you will, the first thing I did was stop looking for new jobs, because I'm like, I'm spending all this time looking for a new job instead of trying to figure out how to work around this situation in my current job. So by stopping the job search, it allowed me to focus on the one that I had. This was the challenge. I'm supposed to be doing this one thing and eventually it's going to happen, or so I hoped. But in the meantime, I'm looking for other jobs and I'm not figuring out like, okay, how can I make these days work for me? How can I make this 9-to-5 be useful to me? Especially because one of my biggest concerns was I didn't want to step off looking for a new spot, not having any skills, not being of any use to a new company, or not even be able to prove that I could be an asset, because I wasn't an asset at that time. The second thing I decided to do was to perform the duties that I felt were below my level of intelligence / skill set, and be the best at it. Now, I want to say this because y'all might be thinking this too, like, okay, so you didn't get to do the job you were doing, but were you at least getting paid what you were supposed to be getting paid? I did. That was definitely motivation, because while I was doing a job that was, for all intents and purposes, below my position, and when I say that, I mean specifically in the hierarchy of the organization in terms of organizational structure, not like in a conceptual sense. I still was getting paid what I was supposed to be getting paid, or what I was promised to be getting paid. So it's not like they lowered my salary, but, you know, I still felt some type of way. But I decided, okay, fine, this is what you gave me. I might not be happy about it. So in a sense, these are the cards that were dealt to me. And no, I'm not pleased with my hand, but I'm going to make this work. I'm going to still make this work as the best way that I can. And that meant that I needed to master the role and become good at it. And part of what came out of that was, one, I was able to focus. One, I was able to sit back and analyze the skills that I was gaining, right? Because not having skills or gaining new skills was really a concern for me. So I realize, you know, they see, you know, you see those job positions and postings and they're like, we need someone who's detail oriented. And you see that and you're just like, it's just to me the same as like, we need you to be, you know, skilled or proficient in Microsoft Word. Like you put your detail oriented, but you don't really think about it. Let me tell you, I became so detail oriented at this role. Like I can't even tell you because of all the things that were required, you had to be really, really focused. And now that's not to say that at my previous places of employment, I wasn't detail oriented. It just wasn't a skill that I had to hone given the roles that I had in those jobs. So this one really required it. So it really helped me to be detail oriented. It really helped to improve my organizational skills. It really helped me to be more patient. So I was definitely gaining skills and working as I was working to be better. Also, working to be the best at this role was showing individuals who were above me, who had the power to fire or hire, that I wasn't complaining because I wasn't caught up in being so mad anymore. So I didn't have to complain. And I wasn't complaining out loud. Like I was always smart about when I would voice my, you know, concerns or my issues. I would speak to my mentor and I would speak to my mom, my husband, my friends, but I wasn't having these intense conversations with people at work. So that's just a tip in of itself. Like be very mindful of who you talk to at work too, because your business will get spread. So I was happy about that, that I was already cognizant of that. The third thing that I did, and this is again, everybody got to do what they got to do, but I listen to gospel music every morning to get my mind right. One of the things that I was taught as a young girl growing up in the church is that you want to set the atmosphere. And whether you believe in God, Buddha, Krishna, no one, energy, whatever, the universe, you do want the energy, the space around you to be as positive and as full of light as possible. And so for me, the way to do that was to pop on some Smokey Norful or some Hezekiah Walker or some, you know, take it back to the classics, get some Yolanda Adams up in there. But, you know, just whatever it was, whatever song, my mom would always say, have a song on your heart. And I get that ready. I'd be on the train blasting it, you know, and just prepping myself for the day because don't get it twisted. I still wasn't happy, but I was learning how to deal with that in a healthy way because initially I wasn't happy and it was unhealthy. It was taking a toll on me. I was, it was affecting my anxiety. It was affecting my sleep. Things like that, you know, my attitude, which I didn't like. So I had to find a way to work around that. Setting the atmosphere, putting on music that helped me be encouraged and stay faithful, that things would change, that was really, really helpful. Four, I had my favorite podcast on deck to help me move through the day. A lot of the work that I was doing at the time was very robotic, you know, and so it was just like I felt it was numbing and I needed, you know, if I didn't have music, it was just like, all right, I got to get something going. So while I am a podcaster, I definitely listen to a ton of podcasts. And so I would have about 3 or 4 on deck ready to go. I mean, it was so bad that if I would sometimes like fill the space with music so that I could be like episodes behind on my podcast just so that I wouldn't run out during the week. Because, oh my God, I'd be so sad if a podcast ran out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to wait a whole nother week for a new episode. So I had those ready on deck. The fifth thing that I did was for 2 work weeks straight. So that's a total of 10 days. I wrote out 10 lessons that I learned each day to help me get perspective and also look back at them as a reminder for, you know, what I was going through. Because, you know, the people you may have, you know, heard before that journaling is really helpful. Journaling is really important. There is an entrepreneur podcaster that I follow religiously who I absolutely adore. And I actually bought one of the journals that she like creates or whatever. And in that journal, I was like, okay, you know, you got to use the journal however it best fits you. So I remember thinking to myself, all right, I'm going through this hell. I'm going to use the journal as an opportunity to step back and say, okay, at the end of every day, Aisha, what did you learn? What did you, because you gotta learn something. You got to feel like you're walking away with something. If you feel helpless or hopeless. There's something. There's the message in the bottle. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, whatever saying you want to throw out there. So I have 10, and I'm sure that I will cover the other 9 in future podcasts. But I will say this, in looking back, the one that I want to share for this particular podcast is lesson number 9. And I wrote this almost a year ago. I wrote this on December 11th. And my lesson was titles don't mean squat. I wrote that, you know, the job that I have. And I said, despite my particular position, there are managers, there are regional vice presidents, senior vice presidents. So there's RVPs, SVPs, VPs, POPs, hold it down, whatever. Like, there's just a whole bunch of PPs and stuff. But you know what? F all of that. Titles in many cases don't mean squat. And, you know, I said, let me rephrase that. Titles don't measure skill and capability. You could be an executive assistant and way more qualified to be a director. The difference in one title versus another is a difference between you and me and Kim Kardashian. No disrespect to Kim, but the higher the title has, you know, the higher the title means the more money you have and the more power or access you have. But don't be fooled, because like Kim K, you too can have a sex tape, a poppin' Instagram page, and work your way up to the socioeconomic food chain. So don't get caught up on titles. Pay more attention to the role, its responsibilities, and how you would or could contribute if you had that position. And once again, no shade to Kim, because I'm really not mad at the hustle. Like, you know, whether you like the Kardashians or not, the hustle game is real. Why I brought that one up is because you think about humility and you think about people feeling like they're better than because they are at this position or whatever. And I'm sure we've all come into contact with individuals who think they're better than you because of their salary, because of their position at their job. We live in a society where we measure our success by the job that we have. When everybody's definition of success is different, it's an individualized thing. But that's a podcast for another day. But in that, I had to tell myself I was hired to be this and I'm not doing that. That's the title on my email and wherever else you see it, but I'm not even doing that role. And not everybody knows that, but it doesn't matter, because am I doing the job that I'm asked to do well? Am I proud of the work that I'm doing at the end of the day? Can I step back and say, you know what, you did a good job. Can you change things? Do you see things that can be improved for this particular role? That's what I focused on, and that helped me to not be concerned. Another mentor of mine told me a long time ago that titles don't matter. They don't really mean anything. It's the job that you're doing. It's the contributions that you're bringing to the company that really count. So I was brought back to that lesson, and in that space, that really helped me to reflect and to change my perspective on things. When you can change your perspective on things, you can really change your life, trust and believe. So with the support of my mom and my mentor, who was encouraging me to be humble, it all really helped change my perspective. Like I said, these steps, they helped me a whole lot throughout this whole year. And change did come. So I have a new manager who I adore, absolutely, who is challenging me. I am actually doing the job that I was hired for. It took a whole year and some change, but it just beats like that sometimes. And I am gaining additional skills on top of the ones that I did recognize that I was gaining when I was doing the job I didn't really want to do. Also, when I spoke to a higher up about the fact that things needed to change, I wasn't the one who brought it up. They came to me. They were able to express that they are pleased with the way that I've handled things because I could have upped and left, that I didn't complain, and they appreciated that. So in my angry silence and also my attempt to work on my humility and humbling myself, my attitude actually proved to be positive, where it could have been bad. And the thing is, going back to me working on being humble, even when I'm right, that's the thing. Like, I felt entitled to my attitude problem. I felt entitled to my anger. I felt entitled to want to clap back. But to what end? Because don't nobody care at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? It's a business. Money got to get made, whether I'm there or not, right? So now, if I told you that everything at work is just so amazing, I'd be lying to you, because that's just not what it is. That's just life. But the truth is, it's still not a dream. And I experience challenges just like anybody else. But humbling myself has helped me to be able to navigate the work day or the work week or the work period. No one owes us anything. So while things weren't handled well in the beginning, even though I was right, it didn't matter. Being right wasn't going to change my situation, right? Like, yeah, I'm right, but I'm still where I'm at. I'm still upset. It didn't change my situation. So changing my attitude is what helped me navigate the situation much better. It did reduce the anxiety. It did reduce the anger. I'm not even angry at all. Like, the anger was gone. The anger is gone. And I was able to be more open to the role that I was doing that I didn't want to do and the role that I have now. Because imagine if I stayed salty for so long and didn't work on that humility. When it came time for me to actually step into my role, I could have been terrible at it just because I'm like, well, F this. You know, I don't have to do this job well because y'all didn't hold me down. But, and, you know, like I said, I got a manager that I think is actually better suited for me and my personality. And, you know, that was never going to be in my control. I could never control, like, well, that was going to change. But it is interesting how when you change your perspective and you work to focusing on being the better version of yourself, things around you do change, even if you can't control it. Truth is, humility can truly be a lifesaver. I'm glad I decided to try it out. I am continuing to work on my humility. I'm continuing to focus on the fact that being right is not always important. It's often not important at all. So a lot of times I'm realizing that silence is the best remedy. You know, you can be right. And if you are right and you own that and you know that and you have peace of mind on that, that's great. But, you know, you just kind of got to let things happen sometimes and just be the observer and just know your position and play your position well until things get better. And that doesn't mean that leaving and moving forward isn't another option. It's just that it doesn't always have to. Sometimes when we get in these negative places because of whatever, we feel like we got to up and go. And it's not to say that you shouldn't at some point, but don't be in a rush. You don't want to, and you don't want to walk away from something too soon because you don't know what life, or for me, my mind, God has in store for me. And so, like I said, things have improved a lot, like a lot. And I am grateful for that. So yeah, I mean, just think about your own situations. Are you going through something similar? Definitely share with me. Hit me up on Twitter at truthis25. You can email me at theheartofconversation@gmail.com with any questions, any advice that you want me to give. No, I'm not a therapist, but I'm always down to support. You know to find the podcast. If you don't, you can go to truthis.podomatic.com. You can also check me out on SoundCloud and iTunes. And remember that the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. All right? Till next time.